Okay, we are up to Perek Chof Tes, but we have to go back and do the Rashis, a few more Rashis of Perek Chof Ches. Okay, there are a few things I also want to speak out. Let's go back to the Rashis. Perek Chof Ches, we're up to... Let's Pasuk Yud Ches, right? A Plishtim, further back. Pasuk Vav, okay, let's go back to Pasuk Vav and the Rashis. Pasuk Vav, let's just quickly run through the Rashis, then we'll speak out a few short things, and then go on to Perek Chof Tes. Pasuk Zayin, okay, Pasuk Zayin. Yes, Maaseh ben HaMelech, Ochos Harag Zichri Gibor Ephraim. We mentioned this yesterday, that according to Rashi, Maaseyahu in Perek Zayin was the son of Ochos. He was killed by Zichri, the Gibor Ephraim, the mighty warrior of Ephraim of the northern Malchus. Who did he kill? He killed this Maaseyahu, who was, according to Rashi, Ben HaMelech, the son of the Melech Ochos, which means Ochos had more than one son, and he was killed. Harag Zichri Gibor Ephraim, we mentioned, and everyone agrees with this interpretation. Some learn that S refers to with. The Zichri Gibor Ephraim together with Maaseyahu, the son of the king of Yisrael, killed the next two people as Rikam Negid Habayis V'es Lekonam Mishnei HaMelech. And we learned Rashi different gears, so we did this yesterday. As Rikim the SVS, he adds into S's Dugma V'ayo V'ano V'chein Nirdam Berecha V'sus. Different, we did this yesterday. Pasuk Tezvah V'ayichu Manosh Mashenik V'Shemus T'malu Mihim V'osim Manoshim Shem Rosh Ben Ephraim Zayahu Ben Yehoichonon V'chaverov. They got up and they did something noble, and they demanded that the military, they released the prisoners, let them go back home to their place. The Chol Ma'aru Mehem, they clothed all the naked people. Lashon Adam the area, Pasuk Yud Ches, Plishna Pashtu Be'erah Hashrev La'Negev. And now Ochos suffered, he was under attack from all sides. He was now, the Plishtim were attacking for the Ariha Hashrev La'Negev, Shulhu Kenegdam Kedosiv, the Ha'Kanani, Yoshev Al'om, the Kanani was Al'Hayom, was along the sea, along the west Mediterranean. They were attacking because Ashur, all the other nations, they're on the east. All of the Edom, Ashur, Ammon, Moab, they're all on the east. So who's attacking on the west? The Plishtim. The Plishtim live along the Mediterranean. So it comes out that he's under attack from both sides. The Melech of Yehuda is under attack for his sins. Pasuk Yutetz, Ki Yifriya Hebi Yehuda, Dugma, Kipara Aaron, Bifroya Peraos. Kipara Aaron, another Pasuk, Bifroya Peraos, expression of exposure. That he has, his sins, we mentioned the Mitzudos, his sins were so great that the change of Ochos was that he sinned publicly. His predecessors, when they sinned, it was still a hate. Don't let the world know. But he was not ashamed to sin publicly. He begged Melech Ashur for his assistance. Pil Neser Melech Ashur or Pil Eser. In the least, the Girsa, the Lewis way it's presented here in 17 Hayamim. He was hired. He gave up all of the spoils, or cholak, much of the spoils of the Beis Hamikdash and the treasures. He paid to Pil Neser Melech Ashur that he should assist. Sheshalach Achav Lazalo K'moshe Kosim Malachim VaYishlach Malachim. He sent messengers El Tiglas Pil Neeser. However, VaYotzar Lo, he caused him pain. Mimasha Cholak Lo Espes Hashem VeEspes Hamelach. According to Rashi, the Tsar was not that he made war; was that he had to pay. VaYotzar Lo Mimasha Cholak Lo Espes Hashem VeEspes Hamelach. This that he had to divide. He had to pay out from the Beis Hamikdash and from the palace. That was the tsar that is referred to in this pasuk. It doesn't say vayotza lo. He caused him pain. The pay was the price. Money. It hurt in the pocket.
Pasuk of, he squeezed him.
Okay. Yeah. Pasuk of Aleph. V'lo le'ezra lo. And he did not, in the long run, he did not, was of no assistance. Afal pishim atzim v'malachim. So here what he's pointing out is that there's a stira. In Sefer Malachim, it does seem to appear that he didn't help him. The psukim there say, v'yal, it's much more elaborate in Sefer Malachim about exactly what the Melech Ashur did. V'yal Melech Ashur al damesek. Vayit b'sa, and he conquered it. Vayigla kira, and he exposed the city. He uncovered, he broke down the walls. Kira is the city. He broke down the walls and he uncovered the city of Damascus. Damascus is Aram. V'yesritzin hamis, and he killed and he killed Ritzin. Ritzin was the king of Aram. So he conquered the capital. Damascus is the capital of Aram. And he broke down the walls and he killed the king. So what could it possibly mean here in Sefer Divrayim when it says Volola Ezrelo, he was not of assistance? And Sefer Melachim clearly says he was of assistance. So the answer is Lo Hoyolola Ezra Kol Kach Luchosko Ulohoshiv Lo Orim Shalokom Imenu Polishtim. It means in the big picture of things it was not a victory. It's true. He got rid of Saddam. But was it better? was it really better after that? After everything was said and done?
Same thing applies to Balaric.
Exactly. Is it better? That's exactly what it's saying. Whole history repeats itself. He killed Ritzin. Ritzin was enemy number one. He was the ace of spades. What's the deck of cards? What's the most chashma thing on the deck of cards? The ace of spades. Got it right? Pretty good, huh? At least that I got it right. So he got the ace of spades, but it says here, the Pasuk in Divrayim says Volola Ezrelo. It was not of, that wasn't the big thing, because the Polishtim caused them so much harm. Lo hoya le Ezra kol kach. It didn't make a big difference. L'chosko, to strengthen Ochos, the king of Yehuda, u'l'hoshev lo adim, shalako mimenu polishtim, that was seized by the polishtim. Very interesting. Pasuk of Dal v'yisko, now here it says something in Divrei Hayom, which does not say in Sefer Melachim. And Sefer Melachim is almost an obsession with the Mizbeach of Damesek, or they call it Darmesek, with a resh. That maybe I should actually read the psuk in Sefer Melachim. In the process of this war, Yoash went to Aram and he saw their mizbeach. They saw the way they worship idols, very similar to his grandfather, to Yoram. To Yoram also, he was obsessed with the avodah zarah of Moab. When Yoram went to war against the nation of Moab, he came in contact with their idols. He was very impressed, and he took those idols and brought them home to Yehuda. And that was one of the complaints, one of the great sins. He worshipped the idols of Moab. Here he did the same thing. He went to Aram, Damascus, and he saw specifically their mizbeach. And he was very impressed. And he called his Kohen Gadol. And he said, I want you to go there and take some pictures. And come back to the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, I want you to build a replica. An exact replica of the Mizbeach that is used in the nation of Aram. And he did it. It was built very quickly. And it says there, they offered sacrifices. And they made the Mizbeach of Shlomo secondary. The Mizbeach of Shlomo, of Evan, was put on the side. And there's much discussion, what exactly was Ochaz doing, Manavshach? If you want to worship with the Zara, why are you still keeping the Mizbeach of Shlomo? So the answer was, it was Shituf. We learned over here that Ochaz, exactly, he's hedging his bets. He was very impressed with, there were two altars in the Beis HaMikdash, one of Avodah Zara and one of Shlomo, and he wanted to use both. And there are many psukim that describe in detail this. Let me find the psukim. Okay, here it is. I'll read you what it says. Vayiven vayelech hamelach. This is Sefer Melachim, Perek Tezayin. Vayelech hamelach ochaz likras tiglas pil eser melach Ashur to Dumesek. He went to visit him in Aram. He went to visit him in the place where, he hired. The king of Ashur was hired by Ochos to conquer the nation of Aram, to kill the king Ritzin, the king of Aram, and he was successful. And now Ochos goes to Aram, to the capital of Aram, to Damascus, to greet him, to give him shalom, to pay him for his service. Vayar, and while he was there, he saw es hamizbeach asher bidam mosek, vayishlach, and he was impressed. So what did he do? He sent a message to his Kohen Gadol, vayishlach hamelech Ochos el Uriah hakohen, es demus hamizbeach. He sent him back the image of the mizbeach. v'yes tavni so l'chol maasei, all of its fine details, all of its trimmings. Va'yiven uya hakohen es hamizbeach k'chol asher sholach hamelech ochaz mida mesek. Kein also uya hakohen adbo hamelech ochaz mida mosek. Uri was very quick. Uriah, even though this was a government project, it was done overnight. It was done very quickly. And there's a very big taina. Over here he has a discussion from the Kli Yakar. He brings down the Mori Chazal, where Chazal are very critical. He didn't have to do it so quickly. Well, what's the rush? He could have delayed. He could have hired the same company who put up the Obamacare website. Would have taken years. And wouldn't have worked. Nothing would have worked. So what's the rush? But obviously there was such a drive in Klal Yisrael to do a worship of the Zara, that's why it was already functional before the king came back. Yeah, he went along with it. Vayavah HaMelech. All right, so Aaron's stall, it's a very good point, very good point. You want to contrast what he did, this Kohen Gadol, with Aaron who stalled. Aaron said, you know what, in the meantime, go collect money from the people. He knew collecting money is not an easy thing, it'll take a long time. By the time they make a collection, Moshe will come back and this whole thing will come to an end. Over here, the Kohen Gadol himself was eager to get things going. Okay, now we're in two more psukim. Vayavah HaMelech Midamesek, he comes back, he pays Melech Ashur for his service. He comes back from Damesek to Yerushalayim. Vayar HaMelech es HaMizbeach, he sees the Mizbeach, he's excited. Vayikrav HaMelech al HaMizbeach, Vayal Olof, Vayakter es Oilosov, Yes Minchosov, Vayasech es Nisko, Vayusrok es Adam Hashlamim Asholov al HaMizbeach. It's very strange. He brings his sheetof. This is the worst type of sheetof because it appears from the simple reading of the pasuk, he's offering korbanos to Hashem on a mizbeach that is built in honor of the avodah zarah of Aram.
Like kosher in the tray for restaurant.
Exactly. Well, it's
like the later shulah. He built the organ and he built the
chassidish shechita using tray for kelim. That's really what it is. He took the best korbanos. And what about the Mizbech of Shlomo? The Ace HaMizbech HaNechoshes that we asher lefnei Hashem Vayakrev me'etz pnei habayis. He moved it. He has a discussion. What do you mean he moved it? It's stone. You can't move it. You have to rebuild it. You can't just move the Mizbech. Whatever this means. Vayakrev me'etz pnei habayis mibein HaMizbech mibein Beis Hashem. He moved it all the way to the north. He got out of the way. He didn't demolish it entirely. He moved the Mizbech of Shlomo HaMelech all the way to the other side. It appears occasionally they would still use it, but now the main Mizbech is the Mizbech that was a replica of the Mizbech that was used in Aram, in Damesek, in honor of Avodah Zarah. We can offer the Korbanos to Hashem upon this Mizbech. It's a very strange type of Shituf. Very strange type of service. Ochas, a whole new type of Avodah Zarah. Now, what's so strange is, he goes on. Okay, there's another pasuk. We were one pasuk. Vayitzaveh HaMelech Ochaz Es Uriah Hakoy Lemar Al HaMizbeach HaGadol. I only want you now to offer korbanos on the new mizbeach. Hakter Es Olas HaBoikev Yes Minchas Erev Yes Olas HaMelech Yes Minchasov Yes Olas Kol Am Haaretz Minchasov Minchayim Luchov V'Choldam Olov V'Choldam Zevach Olov Tizrok Mizbeach HaNuchayches Hashem Yihyeh Li Levaker. And Hashem's Mizbeach of Shlomo, I will visit occasionally. Once in a while, I'll try it out. That's all it says. And what's strange is, it doesn't say anything.
The Havdol Elef HaGolos, we're doing it today. Yeah. They're running to the Kaisel, but only occasionally going up to Harabais. You know?
I mean, that's a very controversial thing. He says something very controversial. Okay, but it's a very different type, just something to take note of, it's a very different type of Avodah Zarah we have not had thus far. We have all different types of Avodah Zarah, and this is something very unique. You're offering korbanos to Hashem, the Tamidim, but it's being done on a Mizbeach that is a replica of the Mizbeach that was built in Damascus in honor of their Avodah Zarah. Now, all of that does not appear any at all in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, in fact, it says something which you would never know. It says he locked up the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is closed for business. It does not say this in Sefer Melachim. That's the very interesting difficulty. How do you look at Divrei Yamim Malachim? Are we discussing the same story? In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, it says here, what did he do? He went and he peeled off all the gold and silver. It says that also there in Malachim. And then it says, the Pasuk of Dalet, just one Pasuk that describes what happened. Vayiskar Estalso Space Hashem. He locked up, closed for business.
That has to be the trigger for what the Medrash is going to say.
What's the Medrash going to say?
He locked up all the Batei Midrashim.
Okay, that's a different thing. That's a different Medrash. That will come to later on. But how do you reconcile what it says here in Divrei Hayamim with what it says in Sefer Malachim? So I don't have a good answer. The only answer he mentions in the Mishpat Zad is that we're discussing the end. That this was the slippery slope. It started off Shituf, but Shituf leads to corrupt. Once you allow corruption in your house of worship, and you start bending the rules, the end will be it will shut down. Many shuls that were once Orthodox shuls and then became conservative, they took away the mechitza, they had the family seating and so on and so forth. What was the end of all these shuls? They shut down. They were all sold to a church. They closed their doors. Once you start making compromises, it's not right because many shomer shabbos shuls are closed down entirely. So you can't really compare. But it's not a good mashal, not a perfect mashal, but there's still truth. There is still truth. There's a special ashgacha. Once, yeah.
Sort of aggression law. Well, the Azara and the Russian, but the Chatzer was still in business.
The Chatzer, no, the, when it says he closed the Beis Hashem, that simply means the entire Mikdash was closed to business. No Korbanos.
Even the Chatzer.
Everything. It's very strange because in Sefer Malachim it says they were makbe to bring the Tamashal Shacha, the Tamashal Ben Harbayim, the Min Chosim. It was a full-fledged service. Everything was done just a little bit different. L'shem on a Mizbeach, that is L'shem of Avodah Zarah. Once you go down the slippery slope, the end is what it says in Divrei Hayam in retrospect. Divrei Hayam is like we mentioned many times. The Yeser, the other events of the king, the Divrei Rishonim v'Ho'acharonim, Haloi Heng Suvim, and so on. What's Rishonim and Achronim? So among the many Perushim, Rishonim means B'Shas Maisa, and Acharonim means in retrospect. Their legacy, look back 500 years later, we can look back and from with the vantage point of history, and we can look at the story different. So from the B'Shas Maisa, it was very good. We have an Avodah Zarah. We have innovations in the Beis HaMikdash. Why should we have this old-fashioned Mizbeach? We'll have the organ, we'll have all of these innovations to make it, bring it up to the time, as what the Goyim do, but we'll serve Hashem. We'll serve Hashem, right? Conservadox and all these other, a little Shinuyim. In hindsight, 500 years later, when Ezra and Nehemiah are writing Sefer Divrei Hayamim, and they're looking back at exactly at these innovations, how do they describe it? These innovations were equivalent to shutting down the Beis HaMikdash. They locked the doors, no one came, no one was interested, the service was over. That's what it was in retrospect. B'Shas Maisa, people cannot appreciate that this is what's going to happen. When you start making changes, you're going to destroy everything. You're going to destroy the foundation of Yadus. In retrospect, Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Rishonim V'Acharonim, that's how it is interpreted. Okay, so that's what it's over here in, that's what Pasuk of Dal in Rashi. V'Yizkar is Adal Space Hashem, Kadesh Lo Yavo HaKohen La'Avod Avodah Zarah B'Yom Moed. So the way it's described in Divrei Hayamim is that he locked up the doors. Ki im lavo l'mizbechos sha'asa b'chol pina, but instead he wanted them to go and worship on the mizbechos that were constructed all over Yehuda. As it says in Divrei Hayamim, he built small altars, bamos, all over, and those who offer l'shem Avodah Zarah b'chol pina, every corner of Yerushalayim, the Chizkiah Pasach to Lasos Space Hashem. Chizkiah, his son, the son of Ochaz, after Ochaz died, Chizkiah took his place. He opened up the doors. Lefisha Aviv Sogar Dal Spishem. That's why he's coming to point out a pasuk and pasuk later on when we talk about Chizkiah. It uses the word he was pasach. He opened. The reason why that word, that expression, is used is in contrast to Ochaz that here closed the doors. Okay, that concludes Perek Chof. Ches. Now, before we go further, I want to just mention a few short midrashim. Hamichal mentioned this medrash a number of times of ochas. Why was he called ochas? Ochas means to grab, to take hold of. Now, I'm not exactly sure of the exact details, but let me read you the medrash. Okay, this is not only a medrash, it's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. It says the lama nikra shmo ochas she ochas bebate kinesius bebate midrashas. He took hold of. He took control. Seemingly means he took control,
but in a negative way.
In the negative way,
yes.
And he made innovations. He made demands, and he in the process of doing so, he shut them down. That was his ultimate goal. He set them up for failure. He wanted them to fail. And the way he was able to make sure they failed was by taking control of the base medrash. Now, why did he want them to fail? So the medrash says he was a very clever, he was an evil genius. He was an evil genius, Achaz. Achaz was a Rasha, an extremely wicked person. And he really would want to just wipe out all the Talmidei Chachamim, obliterate the Torah. But he knew in history, or that in society, it would not be accepted. So he had to do it in a way where he wouldn't get caught. And he was clever enough to realize that the Jewish continuity is all based on Talmidei Chachamim and Talmud Torah. So what he did was gradually he just choked. He choked the source of the Talmidei Chachamim by shutting down the Batei Knesios, shutting down, preventing a new generation of Talmidei Chachamim from developing. I'm going to read the words. Lama nikash ma'achas she'achas b'adik nesid b'admirashash. He took control. Lama ha'ya achas them. To what was he compared to? L'melech she'ele ben u'masra le'pad gud gudro v'mivakesh l'horgo. A king had a son, an evil son, and he gave over the son to the executioner, and he told the executioner.
No, it's not an executioner. It's a pedagogue. It's a tutor.
A tutor?
Yeah.
Lepad gugo v'hoyim mivakesh. Okay. A pedagogue. Lepad. Okay, fine. To a teacher, and the teacher wanted to kill the student. The teacher, the pedagogue, the student, the teacher was a rebel. He wanted to kill the king's child. I guess he did not want this child to succeed the king. They had some other ideas who would succeed the king. So what was he going to do? Omer, imani hargoy, if I murder the king's son, they'll torture me to death. Harei ani mischayev misa. So what am I going to do? I'm going to cause them to die indirectly. I'm going to ella harei ani moshech es meiniktoy mimenu umeatzmohu meis. I'm going to starve him. I'm going to do something to his nurse. Let's say the child's an infant, whatever, just a mushel. I'm going to cause his nurse to die. I'm going to deny him access to the one that provides him, feeds him, and Mimele, once he has no nourishment, Mimele is going to die. So that is the mashal. What's the nimshal? Kach Omar Ochas. In Ein Gidoyim Ochas couldn't go just open in the open and wipe out the Talmidei Chachamim. He was still living in the shadow of his father Yosam, who was a very great tzaddik, and it would not be tolerated. So what did he do? He said as follows: Im Ein Gidoyim, Ein Toyoshim. If there are no baby animals, there will be no adult animals. In Ein Tiyashim, and if there are no Tiyashim, the intermediaries. Ein Son, there's no flock, there's no sheep. In other words, and in Ein Son, Ein Roim, if there's no sheep, there's no shepherds. And there's no one to shepherd the animals. In Ein Roim, and if there's no Roya, in Oilam, if there's no shepherd, there is no world, then there's no productivity, there is no meat, there is no wool, and then the world will cease to exist. I have to cut things off from the source. So here he goes, and here he goes on, say, in Ein Oilam Kaviyachol, Ka choy ochas sover b'day to lemar im ein kitanim ein gedolim im ein gedolim ein chachamim im ein chachamim ein neviim im ein neviim ein ruach hakodesh im ein ruach hakodesh ein bate kinosius bate bedrashas kaviyachol ein hakadosh baruch hu masha shdinasa al yisrael. So what I have to do is I have to prevent the children from learning Torah. If the children won't learn Torah, they won't become adults. They won't become adults. There will be no neviim. There will be no neviim. There will be no talmidei. There will be no. This will stop the entire cycle of their developing in Klal Yisrael great people upon whom the Shechina will rest. So in order to get rid of the Shechina, we have to cut off the source of the Shechina from its roots. And that is to prevent children from coming to the Beis HaKnesses to learn Torah. How am I going to do that? So he choked them off. I guess he took control of the Beis HaKnesses. He dried up the money. Right? He dried up. He didn't pay them. And that's... That's why he's considered to be extremely wicked. Okay, that's one chazal. And there's another chazal, this is Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Ochaz, V'achazia, V'chol Malcha, Yishol Shechaz, V'yasra ben Hashem, V'lo Chayim, V'lo Nidoinim, refers to if they have a chelik Nelam Haba. Now the Gemara there goes, Rashi goes on to say, Ochaz, V'achazia, V'malcha, Yehuda, V'kim Luhu, Rashi says something very strange. Rashi there, Masechta Sanhedrin says, V'kim Luhu, we have a tradition, Shehoyu Rishoim. That's what Rashi there says in Masechta Sanhedrin. When the Gemara refers to the wickedness of the Malchei Yisrael, they were all the Malchei Yisrael, all the kings there were problems. But from the Malchei, there were seven of them that were really bad. Rashi focuses specifically on two, Ochos and Achazia. Achazia was before. Rashi says we have a tradition, Shehoyu Rishoim. There's a very well-known sefer called Margolius Hayom. Margolius Hayom asked the question, and he brings this down from the Ovos, the Rabbi Nosson, and he asked a question. Now, this is what I'm just quoting what it says here. He asked the question, what in the world is Rashi saying? Rashi is saying that they're wicked. I don't need Rashi, the king. Who? We have a tradition. It is a beferish apostle that he was wicked. What's the Chiddush? So he says an incredible chiddush, and he bases this on Ovos Rabbeinu Nosson. From the pasuk, you wouldn't know how wicked they were. All it says, "Vayas hara be'enei Hashem." The psukim in Tanakh have a tendency to super magnify minor defects. So just because it says about a person he did evil, okay, you can say that about everyone, according in the view of Tanakh. Because Tanakh, it's a Musa Sefer to super magnify little defects. We need a Nisoira, a tradition, an unwritten tradition to remind us that they were wicked beyond your wildest imagination, wildest dreams. You can't even begin to imagine how wicked. It's not possible for you even to record in words the degree of their rishis. And just because it says that you read the psukim, you read the parak in Devarim, you read the parak in Malachim, it says it very clearly, they're rishayim. Good, that's right, they're rishayim. But the standards of Tanakh are not enough. The words of Tanakh, it's a very powerful lesson in learning Tanakh. You learn Tanakh, there's a, unfortunately, if you learn Tanakh with the eyes of Chazal, Tanakh is a very dangerous thing to learn. You can totally get the wrong message. There has to be tradition. You have to inject into the psukim Misoira. It says this one was a Rasha, this one was a Rasha, this one a Rasha. They're all the same Rishams, all one collection. Unbelievable art. Rashi, the Kim Luhu, they were wicked. It's obvious. You have no Hasaga how wicked they were. You need a tradition to understand the depth of what it says in the Pasuk. Okay, that is a very powerful. There's another interesting idea he points out. The only king, trivial question, nothing trivial in Tanakh, but interesting question, the only king in the Malchei Yisrael, Malchei Yehuda, whose mother is not mentioned is Ochos. All of the kings, every single king, either you'll find it in Malachim, you'll find it in Divrei Hayamim, it will mention the mother. The mother, who is the person's mother? Somewhere along the line, even if it's not explicitly, you'll be able to figure out who the mother was. But there is no mention anywhere who was the mother of Ochos. And that is a very big mystery. What happened to his mother? Who was his mother?
Ashamed of him, she said, don't get me involved.
Right.
So one of the one, so but that's so you want to say the opposite of what it says. So he suggests that the ulai. Okay, this is the mechaber speaking. I'm not good with names. It's terrible. Weiss Shabsi Sheftel Shefsel Weiss. He says the ulai machma shehoisa marshas gedola. It's a pella. How did it turn out that such a wicked person, one of the worst of the worst, Ochos, was the son of the greatest? We learn Yosam and his Zuchus, together with Rashbi and Eliezer, the world would have been forgiven for all of its sins. How in the world can Yosam produce such a Rasha? So we have no choice but to say, this is a suggestion, I don't know if you can even say this, it's too much of the Chiddush, it has to be, it's the mother. It can't be the father. Chazal say, Rashbi said, if only Yosem would stand al Yimini, me and him and my son Elazar will save the whole world. So where does it come from then? It has to come from the mother.
It can happen in the best of families.
Exactly. So, I mean, exactly. That's why the, we have this. When Chazal say things, it's a little bit different than, you know, today.
But we have the opposite, you know. And all the previous prophets, whatever it said the mother is, because the mother influenced him to be bad.
So I think what he needs to say is that we don't want to associate her with Yosem. It's a zilzul for Yosem to be associated with such a wicked woman, but we don't want... I don't know, it's a tough question. Let's leave it as a question. The answer he's giving is not very satisfactory. But it is something to take note of. All of the kings, the only one whose mother is not mentioned is Ochas. Okay. The Targum, okay, we did the Targum. I didn't read the Targum yesterday. I have a still hard time breaking my teeth with the words of the Targum. But basically, the Targum says there were three who were the people that were saved by fire? Avraham. He was from the Kivshan Ho'esh by Nimrod. Tamar. She was not actually thrown in, according to our tradition. Tzadka Mimena. Hotziua V'tisoreif. Take her out to have a burn, and she said, "Lemi hachasemes absil v'amato ele." Sodka men, so Tamar was saved from the fire, and Hananya mishol v'azaria. That's what the Targum says. These three b'solifas. So we have a fourth person to add to the list. Who was the fourth person? Chizkiyahu, the son of Ochas. So if you ever on Jeopardy and they ask you all the four people, so make sure you say it's Chizkiyahu is the fourth one. It's the Feresh Targum. If they give you a hard time, it's the Feresh Targum that says that he's the fourth person on the list. Okay, another Medrash. Another Medrash says concerning... It says, Vayar Hashem ki sinua leah. Vayiftach es rachama. Hashem saw that Leah was sinua. Hashem opened up her womb. So there's a very scary medrash. What does it mean? Vayar Hashem ki sinua. So we know the poshad is that Yaakov Avinu did not love her. Whatever that means, how could Yaakov Avinu not love her the same way? So Chazal explained the interpretation is that Yaakov, of course, loved her. Of course, Yaakov Avinu didn't love Leah, his wife. Are you talking such a thing? The answer is, when you love someone more, then if you have two wives, you have two children, and you love your children, it's not shaykh, a human being not to love their children. But when you love one child more than the other, that difference between how much you love him more than the other is viewed from the perspective of others as hatred. It's a very powerful... Musar Haskel, Vayashem Kisnu, because he loved Rachel more. However, the Medrash says Vayashem Kisnu doesn't mean that Hashem saw that she was snu. Hashem saw that very bad things are going to come from Leah. What came from Leah? All the kings of Yehuda. Leah was the mother of Yehuda, and from Yehuda comes the Malchus of David. And the Malchus we have, we're learning here that there are 15 kings. There will be more than 15 kings from the time of Shlomo, whatever it is, but 15 kings. From those 15 kings, seven of them were very evil. Who are the seven ones? Vayashem Kisnu, I'll read you the Medrash. This is a Medrash in Agodas Bereshis. Okay, you are familiar with that in your database?
Yeah.
In your database. Medrash, what?
It's a Gemara in Gittin.
It's a Gemara in Gittin, okay, could be. Medrash.
We also had something similar with
Sarah, right?
He wasn't allowed to take
it
Sarah because of
the... Yeah.
Sarah.
Sarah. Yiska. Sarah. See, two or two, you don't have more than one wife. So he named in Medrash, Agodas Bereshis, Ksiv Mava Yarshem Kisnua, Asida Lahitzi Banim Rishoim. The Korah I saw, and therefore Hashem called the mother. You see, a lot of mothers. Mothers have a very big influence, going back to Leah.
The mother,
the Korah I saw, Sinua. Who are the, now here's what the measure, who are then the Elu Hain, Yehoiram. Yehoiram, the grandfather of Ochaz. Ochaz is number two on the list. Yoash. Yoash really goes back. Yoash goes back. He goes, I don't know why it's out of order in the Medrash. Yoash goes backwards. Maybe it could be in the degree of their wickedness.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, it can't be. I don't know. I don't know. There must be...
Gemara in Gittin mentions Yoash that he really wasn't that he was bad.
Yeah.
It's that
He allowed them to go back to build the Beis HaMikdash, but the people didn't do it because they got out of the habit. So he was responsible for the
rishis. He tolerated.
Of the community, of Klal Yisrael, he was responsible for their rishis.
He tolerated.
In his reign,
yeah.
He
was Mamash Rasha.
He was right.
Tolerate. He had it very often. The idea that if you tolerate rishis, so wickedness... Okay, so let me just do this. Yehoram, Ochaz, Yoash, Menashe, we know Menashe, Omon, Yehoyakim, Tzidkiyahu. So those are the seven. Even Tzidkiyahu is considered, because Tzidkiyahu we think is a tzad. Tzidkiyahu is a very complex person. We'll come to it later on. Tzidkiyahu.
I thought Yoash was looking, Zechariah was killed by
him. Right. That's his rishis, right. Yoash killed. That was the main rishis. Yoash killed. In the beginning, was a very big tzaddik. He was only a tzaddik during the time of when he was under the name of Yehoyada HaKoyin. After Yehoyada HaKoyin died, he turned sour, and he signed off on the command to stone Zechariah. That was considered one of the worst sins for all generations. Okay, but the poor, I don't know what the rank is. I don't know what it means. But he quoted it as seven, showed seven, and that is why Vayar Hashem Ki Snu, and he quotes the famous pasuk Lala Yoledes Hashiva. That pasuk is said in reference to Chana, right? That pasuk is said that the Lala that she is, instead of mourning the one that gave birth to seven Shava, Chana, the Shiva Boneha, and her seven sons, the Chanukah story, that's a story that is associated with Nam Mukha, that was Tam of Chanukah. It's a very big debate. We once discussed a very big debate exactly when that story took place. Chana and her seven sons. And
different versions,
when it happened, whatever, it could be happened more than once. But whatever the story is, that pasuk of Umlala Yoledes Hashiva is always said in reference to Chana and her seven sons. And here the Medrash takes that famous pasuk and says that pasuk refers to none other than who you were shocked. Who? Leah. Leah Imenu. Leah Imenu is called Umlala. She is in the state of mourning. Umlala, where is the pasuk? In Yirmiyah. In Yirmiyah, Perek Tesla Pasuk Tes, Umlala is in a state of mourning, of wailing, of deep grief, the one that gave birth to seven. And Almi Nemar, who upon whom, on Leah Imenu. Because Leah, that's why it says her eyes, Lekach Nemar, it's an amazing medrash. Vayashem Kisnu Leah, and it says her eyes were Be'enei Leah Rakos. Her eyes were tender. Okay, the Targum says she had beautiful eyes. Rashi says that she cried. She had tears in her eyes because she was afraid that she would marry Esav. But her eyes were crying because she saw al pi ruach hakodesh that from her would come seven extremely wicked people that caused great harm to the makeup of Klal Yisrael.
The other three, what's the complete list?
The complete list is, first is they have Yehoram. Yehoram was the grandfather who conquered, who took the Avodah Zarah of Moab, and who threw off the cliff the 10,000 people of Moab. He was arrogant. He was Vayig Valibo, Ochos. Okay, that we know Ochos is what we're discussing now. Yoash killed Zechariah, Menashe was the worst of the worst. He was king for how many years?
55 years,
and he, Mamash, he put Klal Yisrael, he finished them off. Amon was the son of Menashe. He was only short-lived, 2.5 years, he was even worse. Yehoyakim, and it's Tzidkiyahu, Yehoyakim rebelled also against Hashem. And I don't know the details of what was the focus of his particular sin. And Tzidkiyahu, his particular sin that Chazal always mentioned, is he was should have surrendered. He was the last king at the time of the Chometz HaMikdash, and he was approached by Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah told Tzidkiyahu, just surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Surrender. Let Nebuchadnezzar come in, take over, he'll let you live, he'll give tribute. And it'll be in the long run, it'll be better for Klal Yisrael. Tzidkiyahu said, "No way! They're not coming in. They put up a fence. They made it. There was a siege, and that ultimately led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash and to the Golus of Klal Yisrael." He was a little bit too stubborn, Tzidkiyahu. Okay, so that is an important medrash. Umlala Yoledes Hashiva Ve'enei Le'arakos. She was the one that brought forth these seven wicked people. One other important thing to keep in mind is another important medrash is a set. You always look at the Yishayah Tanakh in sets. Among all the kings of Klal Yisrael, we always look at Ochos, Menashe, and Amon as a set. after Chizkiyahu came in Asher, we're now winding down towards the end. So they skip a generation, but Ochoz was, and his grandson Menashe, and his great-grandson Amon are one set. And their particular chait was in Arayos. Chazal, they focus on Arayos, forbidden relations. It started with Ochoz. Ochoz was Matir Erva. Now, there are different degrees of Erva. There's an Eshes Ish. They are marrying certain types of relatives. But there are certain things that were off limits to Ochoz. Ochoz wouldn't dare marry a sister. He wouldn't go that far. And it certainly wouldn't go to the extreme. The ultimate sin in Arayos is a mother. Ochoz was Matir Arayos. It's not so bad. Eshes Ish, it's not so bad. It's pretty bad in the Torah. But he that was the breach. That was how Chazal looked at him and how he damaged the makeup of Klal Yisrael by being Matir Erva. The next level, who continued in the tradition of the grandfather? Menashe, he was Mati, was Bo Alachoisoy on his sister, which represents a concept he breached it even, he went even deeper in Arayos. And Amon did the worst. Amon, Chazal say, was Bo on his mother in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim in spite of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with his mother, so these three are viewed as a set. Chazal also say that Ochoz, from all of the Rishon, that he has a special madrega of his rishis, was more than the others, because he was sandwiched in between tzaddikim. His father was the greatest of the great, Yosam. And his son, Chizkiah was unbelievable. The whole Sefer Yeshayas, we learned Sefer Yeshayas about the godless of Chizkiah. Chizkiah was also the greatest of the great. So Chazal are much more critical of Ochoz than they are of others, because Ochoz had who to learn from? Both Lamala and Lamata. He had such a good father, and his children, he had such a good son. Why couldn't you see many times people that have very good children, the children, they just swept up by the children. The children are in Kailal. All of a sudden, you know, their fathers are totally different people. So they have big tightness. And Ochoz, your father, you couldn't learn from your father. Your children couldn't influence you. How did you go so bad? How did it happen, such a terrible thing? And therefore, they give him a special place in history for causing trouble. Okay, another interesting thing I want to point out. He mentions here, this is an amazing idea. Doesn't say this in Divrei Hayamim, but it says this in, we're coming to Purim soon. Purim, it's all about V'la'yehudim, ho'yso'ora, simcha v'sasa. We have many terms to describe the Jewish people. In fact, we're going to learn certain parashas b'shpatim. Ivri, Eved Ivri, we're called the Ivrim, the people. What are the Ivrim? People from the other side. Avraham lived on the Eved Hanar. Okay, we're called Yisrael. We're called Malchus of Yehuda. A Jew is called Yehuda. But where does it come? Yehudim. So in the Megillah, that's all. We find the word Yehudim. But where is the first place in Tanakh that Klal Yisrael are called Yehudim? They're called. It's very weird. Besides Megillah, Megillah is a different category. The Chumash Megillahs. But besides the Megillah, where in Tanakh do you have the term Yehudi? An Ish Yehudi. What? So the answer is, it's in this story, it's not in Divrei Hayamim, but the equivalent of this exact episode in Sefer Melachim, when the Pelishtim, I mentioned this yesterday, with the Pelishtim, this is a very tragic thing, during the time of Ochoz, the Pelishtim settled in the land. It wasn't enough. All along, we're learning since the Sefer Melachim, we're learning that there was always fights, there was always wars. But we don't find when there was a war, even when Klal Yisrael, they lost the war, the enemy didn't settle in the land. The enemy either just took the spoils, they killed people, and when the war was in other countries, when Klal Yisrael tried to conquer other lands, other cities of Edom and Moab, so either they broke away, or they lost. When they broke away, they just took back what they had originally. Klal Yisrael, to a certain kufa, had possession, had an anachizin on lands in cities that were outside of Eretz Yisrael. But very rarely, if not at all, do you find an enemy coming into Eretz Yisrael and conquering the land and settling in our land. You don't find that. the Pelishtim, you'll have that with the Pelishtim, because the Pelishtim were there originally until David, and David came, until they built the Beis HaMikdash. They're constantly kibush and chiluk, they're constant wars where we're trying to get rid of the Pelishtim, and if we lose, they come back, they take back parts of Eretz Yisrael. But here, this idea returned to us. It's a very frightening, very frightening pasuk. Pasuk in a, okay, Chof Ches, it's, here it is, Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches, a frightening pasuk, Uflishtim, Pashtu Be'ori Hashvela. They spread out in the lowlands. That was part of the problem. Even go back one pasuk. Go back one pasuk. Pasuk Yitzayin. V'od Adomim Bohu Vayakov Yehudu Vayishvu Shevi. Okay, there was a lot of tzaris. The Adomim, they conquered the land. They took spoils. But Uflishtim, Pashtu Be'ori Hashvela V'Negev Liyehuda. Here it says Liyehuda, the nation of Yehuda, Divrei Hayamim, Vayilkidu Es Beis Shemesh V'Es Ayalon V'Es Hagederos V'Es Sochav U'Vnosech V'Es Timna U'Vnosech V'Es Gamzo V'Es Vnosecha Vayeshvu Sham. So he mentioned, yes, that's a very frightening expression, they dwelt there, Vayeshvu Sham. It's occupy the land. We don't have that. We have not had that in a long time. Not since David, conquered and David built David set into motion the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That even the Pelishtim, they took over our land, they took over Beis Shemesh. Beis Shemesh now has become part of Palestinian Authority, Chas Hashem. It's their possession. That's what it says. Vayeshvu Sham. The same idea, the way it's expressed in Sefer Melachim, is the pasuk there says, "Bo'es ha'hi heishiv ritzim melech haram es elas laram." That time with sin, I know this is. It's not the Pelishtim. Okay, it's part of his wars when they were in the same during the same period of time when there were wars, were under attack from different areas. Ritzim melech haram es elas laram. He returned elas laram. Vayinashel es ha'yehudim. Here it says, "Vaynashel he cut down, he cut down the Yehud, Hayehudim me elos va'aroimim, me elos va'adoimim bo elas va'yeshu sham ad hayom hazeh." That was equivalent to the pasuk before of pasuk Yud Zayin. Ve'od adomim bohu va'yakov v'Yehuda va'yishbu shevi. Here it says the adomim va'adomim bohu elas. It's the first time in Tanakh where the Jews are called Yehudim. Yeah, so what's the significance? I don't know. He doesn't really give an idea, but we know the Yehudi means you admit to how you give Shelech V'Hoidah to Hashem, and you deny Avodah Zarah. You deny Avodah Zarah. So, okay, so this is an interesting idea. Okay, one other thing I want to point out, he has a very nice piece here. We say in davening on the Yom Ram, Im kivonim, im ka'avodim, im kivonim, rachameinu kirachim aval bonim, v'im ka'avodim, einenu l'chos luyos ad shetechoneinu v'sotzi ch'or mishpoteinu oyom kadosh. The expression, if we're like servants, where does that come from? It comes from the equivalent of this story. It's actually not mentioned in all of these details in the Sefer Divrei Hayamim of in the Sefer Melachim, where the Ochaz begs the king of Ashur to help. I'm under attack. Aram, Ritzin Melech Aram is coming to attack me. I need help. So the pasuk there says, "Bo'esahi vayishlach ochos malachim." He sent messengers. Rashi quoted this pasuk. El Tiglas Pileser Melech Ashur Lemar Avdecha Uvincha Oni. I am your servant. He calls himself. This was a very big mistake. Ochos. Ochos calls himself. He humbles himself to Melech Ashur. I am your servant, and I am your son. Im kivonim, im kavodim. Here he puts it in the reverse order. First he calls himself a slave and a son. Alei v'hoshieni mikaf melech aram u'mikaf melech yishol hakam molai. He begs him. He basically says, come and save me. Come and save me. And it's an expression which is similar. It brings out this idea. He humbles himself and then says that we need you. Alei v'hoshieni, come and save me. There's nothing I can do without you. Im kivana im kavodim, we find the same type of expression. It's strange that we are borrowing from the Rosh Ochaz said, like, you know, people have complained that you should not say matovu olech Yaakov shachris in the morning because you don't want to say psukim that were said by Bilam Harasha. Even though Bilam Harasha said it l'shevach, he said it for praise, but still Bilam has kavod was a shame and we should have tzaris. Yet we say it. Some are critical. You shouldn't say, you shouldn't. Here it's interesting, we do, to a certain degree, we do the same thing. The expression, the only place in Tanakh we have this idea of avonim and bonim is by ochos. Ochos says, I am your son and your slave. Alei v'hoshieni, come and save me. I need your help. We take that idea and we use it on the Yom Ram in reference to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shevach. We ask Hashem to help us. Okay, that I think is it. And we'll stop here. We'll pick up next week with Perek Chavtes.